I need to do. Tonight, Psalms 42 and Psalms 43 tonight, as we look at another monster that we face, which is a monster of depression. And I tell you, this is a monster that all of us deal with at some time or another. I thank God as we start out in Psalms 42 tonight and begin to read. And I have a couple of things of introductory as well for us tonight as we look at that monster of depression. Psalms 42, 11 verses with it, and then 5 verses with Psalms 43. I know that's a lot, but I thank God as we look at this subject tonight, it's one that almost every one of us have dealt with, where we're going through either a time of discouragement, spiritual dryness. It is a monster that every one of us, as we face the fears that hold us back. Psalms 42. And I thank God that I remember, even when the Lord, I like what Brother Bob was praying there about our Lord and Savior, even when the Lord was on the cross, I remember, why hast thou forgotten me? That's Psalms 42, amen, that he said when God had to turn his back on him, when he felt every bit of the sin that the entire world had upon him at that moment in that time, amen. And so I thank God tonight as we look and realize, as we deal with this monster that every one of us goes through. We look at these two and we wonder, are these combined? And there's three things that we notice about it. There's no heading over Psalms 43 where there normally is on others. The second thing is, on many of the ancient manuscripts, they combine them, these two, Psalms 42 and 43. And the third thing is, you'll notice that the structure puts them together, as we look at tonight and the questions that it begins to ask us, because there are three stanzas that begin to point us in the same direction as we look at this. And tonight, I want to talk to you about three things. Basically, as we define what the condition of depression is, what the cause is, and what the cure is. When you listen to the cure, you're going to say, is that all? But sometimes it's not that simple, as we're going through a very tough time, where we lose all our joy or whether we're filled with doubts. But I thank God as we begin to look and realize that a lot of us, some of the words that we see that begin to describe this. But first of all, let's read this tonight. It talks about to the chief musician, Mashil for the sons of Korah. He goes on, he says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Notice that. Cast down, disquieted are the words that are used for depression. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down. It repeats itself, doesn't it? You hear? Within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill of Mazar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I'm going to actually go in and read Psalms 43 right at the end, because it's part of the cure. And so I'm going to do it that way, not being disrespectful to God's word, but I just felt like I would do that. And so I will read it in just a few minutes, probably, as we look at that. And I just want to open with a word of prayer. Father, tonight there are so many folks, especially Christians, Lord, Lord, that are dealing with a monster of depression. Lord, we deal with it each and every day, sometimes through stress, sometimes through lack of sleep, sometimes, Lord, through just overdoing it a lot of days, pushing ourselves extra hard. Lord, looking around, and Lord, as we begin to realize, get caught up in all of the emotions and the feelings of things that are happening, what we see on the television sometimes, what we see that's happening in the world. And Lord, I pray tonight as you speak to us, you show us exactly from Psalms 42 and 43 how you overcame this of your soul that was cast down and disquieted. Lord, how you overcome this monster of depression. And Lord, I pray tonight as we look at your illustration of what you have for us to learn from your word tonight, may we take it to heart, Father, and may we become strong, and may we share this with many others that come across our path that are we see struggling, and Lord, that are going through very difficult times, Lord, right now, or either, Lord, they have in the past. Lord, we notice there's some people that deal with depression a few times, and it's gone. Some people, Lord, in seasons, and there are some people that deal with it, Lord, continuously. And so tonight, Father, whoever or whatever difficulty of depression that, Lord, your church is going through or may experience in the future, I pray tonight that this will be richly blessed as you share this scripture and this word of how to be able to face this monster and to overcome it and to defeat it and to give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with the many that are struggling. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you'll just let us be a blessing to them here at People's Valley Baptist Church as we come in and out before the flock. And Lord, that we do all to reach those that are lost, that need salvation, that they need your wonderful blessing, your wonderful Holy Spirit within their lives each and every day to be saved and brought into the family of God. It's our heart's desire. And Lord, I pray as you begin to work on us for revival, that we'll get back out of those habits and Lord, get back into the right habits of, Lord, putting you first in every area of our life. And, Lord, begin to wake up and renew ourselves in the areas that we've slacked. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. I thank God as we look at tonight and as we begin to realize some of the things.
It is a mood
that we go through today, that it's a feeling of attitude, of hopelessness, which becomes a person's reason for not handling the most important issues of life. Sometimes the most simple things, as far as taking care of yourself and going and handling your business, you just begin to get like you just don't have any strength. You don't have any desire, any will whatsoever to go on, to get out of the house, to do some of the simple chores that we need to do. Sometimes people lose jobs because of it. Sometimes people begin to go through a lot of things that are so challenging in their life today. And as we begin to look at some of the biblical terms of downcast, despair, countenance fallen, disturbs. We saw cast out. We saw disturbed in the Word of God tonight. Some of the things that we saw, it says, my soul was cast down. Why art thou disquieted in me? Those are some of the biblical terms that it uses about depression, amen. And some of the biblical examples of Cain and Elijah. And I'm not going to go into none of these. I'm just pointing them out as an introduction. Some of David, all of these, the psalmists, that we're dealing with basically depression, and Jeremiah, Paul, everybody. There's been a lot of characters in the Bible that have dealt with depression. And the thing about it is a lot of people say, you know what? This is one of those things that I was talking about this morning that you really don't want people to know you're going through. But you know what? Because a lot of people think, well, there's a lot of reason that I have this, and maybe because I'm having it, it's somebody may look at me and say, well, what is it that are you not doing? But it is not about that. It's not so much about sin, because this particular author that wrote this in Psalms 42 and 43, he didn't have sin in his life. He said, how do you know that? Because as I read it to you tonight, he's one that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. When he goes forth, he says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know what? This is somebody that has a relationship. This is somebody that knows Jesus Christ. And so I thank God as we hear what he's talking about. He's unhappy. He's troubled. He's discouraged. And I thank God he's walking through a peak and a valley in his life today. And so I thank God every one of us are going through some areas of our life, always in our life. And what is it? It's mountaintops. It's mountaintops. But we can't stay on the mountaintops all the time. No, nobody can stay on. We can't handle the mountaintop all the time. We can get into the plains, and you know it's good to be in the plains, but where do you grow and where do you learn the most of all the areas that you can be in? It's the valleys. And so I thank God it's the valleys that we grow in. It's the valleys that we learn and the types of days that we go through a lot of time. And so depression is normally the result of a process rather than the consequence of one event a lot of times. And so that process usually includes a wrong response to problems in our lives. And I'm going to point that out. Why? Because a lot of times we'll separate ourselves. And one of the most important things that we need in our life when you're going through depression is worship. And what will happen is you don't want to be around anybody. You'll seclude yourself. And you know where the best worship is? When you're together in the house of God. God will show up in such a mighty way when you're in a corporate worship, man. That's where he shows up, man. And that's where you can feel it. Can you worship at home? You sure can. But where you want to be in the really heart of worship is right where you are tonight, right in the local assembly. Amen. And so I thank God tonight, as he says, my tears have been my food day and night. Amen. And so as we begin to realize some of the things about this, of how the causes of depression, the medical problems, amen, the side effects of sometimes from prescription medications is sometimes some people, and some of the things that they're going through today. And I thank God, as I'm introducing this, sometimes we have a spiritual depression that some people deal with, or spiritual problems, amen. And I'll go into a little bit of that in just a few minutes, amen, of the medical issues. Sometimes this might be thyroid, might be postpartum depression of some kind, chemical imbalances that we deal with, certain medications, as we was talking about, seasonal affective disorders. Sometimes it's just seasonal. But there's some people that go through it, I mean, continually. And I've got an example that I'll share with you tonight of a story of someone you've heard about but probably didn't know all of their background. Somebody that's grieving of a loved one that they've lost in death, amen, or highly stressful or sad events. These are a number of combinations that every one of us can deal with, amen, today. Ongoing stress such as family problems, something that you're just worrying about and really heavy upon your heart about. All of these can be some things that we're dealing with. And so feelings follow actions. And you know what we do with depression? Is a lot of times you'll worry about trying to reside those feelings. Because sometimes you'll have feelings, and before you can correct those feelings or your emotions, amen, those feelings will be telling you what you really need to be doing. And you're listening to your feelings, your emotions, and instead of really doing the right feelings, following the right actions. And I'm going to explain that just a little bit more in a few minutes as I go into some of the examples of that as well. People think they cannot do what is right until their feelings change. You know, and so it's based, they'll base a lot of depression solely on how they're feeling. Well, I'm not really feeling that good right now. And so God, you know what? I believe you've abandoned me. You're not with me. You see, people get feeling like that because of their emotions, because of their feelings. And this is just an introduction. People think that changing their feelings is of the first priority is what happens a lot of times. So we get hung up on those things. But this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we must go against our feelings and do the righteous thing for God's glory. And I'm going to explain how to do that. And what the way that we can overcome when that begins to happen in just a few minutes as well, through these three things that I just said, the condition, through the cause, and through the cure as we look. And so I've just told you the cure right here in this very last part, and I'm going to read it. We must learn to talk or to preach to ourselves instead of listening to ourselves. And I thank God, and I've got good examples that I'm going to talk about this in a few minutes. It may not make much sense now, but it will in just a few minutes, because our feelings will lie to us. And so we've got to tell ourselves the truth according to Philippians, amen. And so the term is them to listen to our depression. Our depression teaches us about our own heart a lot of time. And this is what, I'm afraid, some of the things, I'm guilty, I'm ashamed, amen. I've lost something, amen. I need something, amen. I'm angry, I must avoid something, amen. Woe is me, amen. I have no hope. I'm trusting in Christ and waiting on Him. So what are those beliefs, those thoughts that I'm worshiping, amen? And what are the idols sometimes, amen? And confess and repent of anything that does not honor God. Sometimes that ain't always the case. As I said, you may not have done anything wrong, except maybe you need to forgive yourself sometimes. You know, we're our own worst enemy. We beat our own selves up more than anybody else could ever do, amen. And so I thank God, by looking at all of this, the habits that you want to help develop, amen, is thankfulness, amen, serving and ministering others and taking every thought captive, amen, thinking on things that are true, thinking biblically about God, self, and the circumstances, amen. Praising God versus changing feelings and circumstances. And God confidence and self-discipline, amen. But I thank God, first of all, defining that condition, amen. As I get to that, verses 1 and 2 tells us that. You know why? It's talking about a deer. It's talking about a deer. In this psalm, there is no stream that's there. But yet it's talking about really being able to take a drink, amen. My soul basically panteth after the water brook. But there's nothing there to drink. And I thank God, every one of us, as we look at this, a psalm here, there's no stream there. But the main point is there's a deer living in the midst of a drought, is what it's trying to paint. And so with the last reserve of strength, he drags himself, this deer, up to the stream that he's drunk from so many other times before to find that it's dry. It's not there, you know. He's drunk from it deeply from many, many times, but this stream has dried up. He collapses in an agony. He's panting for life-giving water, amen, and that he once drunk from. He put a half-dead deer, you know, out there, and you know what? You probably saw this on a t-shirt, and they really busted it out of proportion, because this deer is a deer that is wanting something that's not there. Every one of us at one time or another, we've had that living water. We've had God that's blessed us tremendously. And so the psalmist says, listen, he says, I am the deer. You and I, we're the deer. And God is that life-giving stream that I've drunk from so deeply from in the past. But these days that I'm going through right now, currently, when I thirst for God, I can't find Him. As if I can't find Him all the many times that He's been there, amen. It feels like He's gone somewhere. I'm in agony, amen. And I'm in despair. Where are you, God? That's those feelings. That's those voices that'll come and begin, those emotions, and it'll begin to say, you know, I'm all by myself. God, where are you? And so, what is the condition? It's an agonizing discouragement, and we could even say despair. Agony on me. Hee-haw. You know, a spiritual depression sometimes. Agonizing discouragement, amen. It comes from the feeling that God has abandoned you, but yet He's not. He's very present right there. But somehow or another, that water, that spiritual water that we've always drunk so deeply from, it's dry. And it's not there. But God is very much alive as He always has been. And so we're having emotional trouble because the living God does not feel alive to you right now. And He feels like He's lost that relational experience. All the many experiences that every one of us, since being birthed into the family of God, and every one of us, only our individual selves know what that is. The great experiences that we've had in our salvation that we've enjoyed, amen. We're the only one that knows about it, but we feel like we've lost those things sometimes. We feel like the enjoyment that we've had with God is just something that's in the past, amen. And so, what does He say in verse 9? He says something like this. He says, I will say unto to God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Amen. And so I'm going to tell you something. He does not doubt that God is near to other people, but he does not feel that God is near to him or her anymore. And so how many of us have known some type of discouragement that comes from feeling that God is absent sometimes? Perhaps you're in a place right now, maybe. And so you're feeling that monster of depression, amen. We refuse sometimes to deal with a lot of issues in our life, amen. But I'm going to tell you, remember, this is not an issue of sin. Because this is someone that knows what, this is a godly person, amen. This condition has just come upon him or her. It's critical to understand because so many Christians think that if they don't feel like he's near them, they must have done something wrong. And you know, we always blame ourselves a lot of time. You need to search your heart. You need to make sure that you're not holding on to sins, but it may well be that you are afflicted with this type of condition. Something that has just discouraged you completely, amen. One step out of this agonizing discouragement is simply knowing that it has been a common experience for many, 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 many Christians. Big time preachers, big time Christians, big time singers, Christians, common experience that this depression, this monster has been in their face for many a times. And so I say that because we could spend the rest of this message quoting and talking about spiritual depression, but I'm going to cut right to the chase of this, amen, as we take a few moments to describe some of the most severe cases. And that would be basically, as we look at one, and I'm not going to say a lot about it, but William Cowper, 1752 at the age of 21, was one of the most influential, prolific hymn writers of all time. Brilliant, brilliant writer, amen. And I thank God his mother died when he was young. His daddy basically was mean to him and wouldn't let him marry the woman that he loved. He was in and out of four wards, psychiatric wards, during his life. And I'm going to tell you something. Basically, this is one of the things that he was depressed. He was going through one of the things he wrote. He said, "I was struck with such a dejection of spirits as none but they who have felt the same can have the least conception of day and night. I was upon the rack, lying down in horror and raising up in despair," unquote. So while he was in this asylum, I told him God's offer of salvation was in him, amen. Cowper began to write immediately. He says, "I received the strength to believe it, and the full beams of the sun of righteousness shone upon me. Unless the almighty arm had been under me, I think I should have died with gratitude. My eyes filled with tears, my voice choked with transport. I could only look up to heaven and in silent fear, overwhelmed with love and wonder," unquote. Now, thank God, when he had sank into deep depression again, one night he had a dream, and in that dream it spoke to him, "It's all over with you, you're lost." And that dream shook him back into reality. And he began to realize that voice that shook him in that dream was a foundation for his soul, amen. He firmly believed that God saved him that day. And I thank God from then on he began to go out and he tells the story of a sailor that was washed overboard in a storm. And his comrades were desperately trying to throw him something to hold on to. But the ship, it couldn't be stopped. In the wind, and it leaves the castaway behind, treading water in the darkness. He survives for an hour, calling out in vain. And then, in Cowper's words, "By toil subdued, he drank the stifling waves, and then he sank." That was his dream. But it got his attention, amen. And he goes on to apply it to himself, saying, basically, he could not hear God's voice. And he did not feel the light of God upon him. And he would struggle with that for the rest of his life. What I'm saying is, he's an unusual case. He didn't have it seasonally. He didn't have it occasionally. He had it every day of his life. Depression, depression, depression. A brilliant person. But the first step toward dealing with that agonizing discouragement that comes from feeling like God has abandoned you is being able to realize how that common this condition is. And I thank God every one of us afflicted only sometimes for a day or two. Some people are. Once in a while, some people are. But Cowper, his whole life. That was a most unusual case. And so we look at the condition as he battled his entire life. How does this happen? We realize how does this happen, the condition. But I thank God we look at the cause. And the psalmist experience, he points to three factors. There's a lot more, but these three factors basically will cover it. That's the physical causes, the social causes, and the experimental causes. Don't make sense until I explain it, but the physical cause He says in verse 3, he says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually saying to me, where is thy God? You know, I thank God here we see that physical health is a casual factor in spiritual depression sometimes. Now, I thank God, in other words, he's not eating and not sleeping well, which only compounds emotional problems. And so the cause of many people's spiritual depression is the fact that mainly physical causes of it. Amen. Sometimes we have a physical health, a spiritual health. And I thank God you cannot isolate the spiritual from the physical, because what? We're body, mind, and soul. And so I thank God this is true for a businessman that works all them hours. Man, they're just worn out. Amen. Lack of rest. They need to rest. They need to sleep. Amen. And I thank God a student that's buried down with term papers. Amen. Somebody that's going through. A mom that has three crying children that's just overwhelmed, doing everything that she can do sometimes. Get depressed. Get slow. Amen. We do it for our children sometimes. But you know what? I thank God as we deal. The voice that says God is absent may in fact only be a voice that's saying, you know, get 8 hours of sleep and then you'll be better. Maybe so. But it's the physical health sometimes is one of the causes I'm saying. The second one is the social causes. Separately from worshiping in a community, a lot of times is one of the most important things. We got shut-ins. Sometimes they can't make it here. But because they look on TV and they see us, they can worship with us as if they're right here with us. That's how important that is. That's how wonderful having that ministry is for our church family. Amen. And so I thank God being right here. But we see verse 6. And it tells us, O my God, as my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. So I thank God it's all about those social causes, amen. Being able to worship, amen. He remembers the joy that he had in worshiping with the people of God. And in verse 4, he goes on, he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He remembers all the good times that he used to have. We're talking about a child of God here that's going through depression. Amen. You see my point? And so I tell you, although he knows that God can be worshipped anywhere, he also knows what being individually, as we fail to understand that God draws us close to people more in that corporate worship. And that is one of the most important things, that we sense the nearness of God, amen. We need to be able to come together as we do now, amen. And so I thank God that spiritual depression often goes like this, because sometimes it may be laziness for somebody. They can't get up and come to the house of God. That might be one case. Might be the other, where they're overworked so much they can't come in. And so they separate themselves from church, and suddenly they're complaining, God, where are you? You're absent in my life. I've experienced this before. I worked so many hours when I worked in Atlanta, and them 12 hours, and then turn around and work another 12 hours. And oh my goodness, it didn't take long. God, where are you in my life? He's right there, but you can't tell, because you're just overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed. And spiritually, I thank God, socially, these are one of the things that happens in our life with spiritual depression. Amen. And so I thank God. And then also, God is near, because I thank God sometimes maybe we've walked away and we don't realize that we need to get back into that same relationship that we've always been. And so there's what? The physical cause. There's the social cause. But then lastly, there is basically the experimental cause. The trials. The things that we don't know that's going to happen tomorrow, amen. Sometimes the difficulties, the calamities that could happen. Why, man, the stock market could collapse. Why, man, this country could fold under, amen. You talking, yeah, it could happen. And so, man, when 9/11, how many of us, man, I thought, Lord, how in the world am I going to get up and preach Sunday? I mean, that's the first thing I was thinking about. Instead of worrying about all those people and them families, Lord, there's people that's dead over there because of these terrorists, amen. And so I thank God, we're not sure what trials the psalmist was facing when he said in verse 7, he said this, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves, all thy billows are gone over me. Can you imagine? He's feeling every bit of the waves that are restless, that almost like they're pouring over him and over him and over him, crashing on top of him, amen, dragging him under the water, so to speak, amen. And in the midst of all this, he hears voices that are speaking to him, amen. And I thank God as we look at this, these voices seep into our own souls sometimes, and they begin to we begin to look at them and say, you know, I think I believe that. I believe that, you know. You know, it's just like kind of like what Bob was saying about the analogy of the good devil and the bad devil, and the good angel and the bad angel, in a sense. And I thank God sometimes every one of us, we have something that's talking to us. You know what it's called? The flesh. It'll talk to you too. It'll tell you what to do. Amen. It'll tell you you need to do this. But then the Holy Spirit is the number one thing that we have that guides us. And it is our compass. Amen. But I thank God of all these voices. That voice says, hey, if you're a child of God, why are you sick? Huh? You know, that bad angel comes in there, you know. He says, why are you sick if you're a child of God? Why aren't you married yet, somebody? Why is your marriage falling apart? Why did that person have to die that you loved? Amen. Hey, why are you lonely right now? Why is life so hard? Amen. Is this clear evidence that God has forgotten you? No. No. But you'll begin to listen to those voices and you'll begin to believe them. Amen. And one that says God has left you, that's wrong. Amen. Many have listened and many have believed that. And so why have you forgotten me? And so we see that some of the causes could certainly add more, defining the condition, the cause. But let's look at the cure tonight. You ain't going to believe how easy the cure comes. Finally, as we come to that cure, amen, we see all of these this and describe the cure as the first stanza. And this was verses 1 through 4. It talked about being filled with tears. The second stanza in verses 6 through 10, he remembers God is starting to get a little bit better. Even though he still feels like he's drowning, he grasps for God's love. And in verse 8, he sings of it. And in the third stanza, which is the first four of Psalms 43, he speaks of joy and he speaks of delight. Amen. And I thank God. Notice what I said. Look down at you. Got to preach the gospel to yourself. You see, that's the cure. Here we read tonight, Psalms 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why doest thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, unto the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down? Here for the third time. For the third time. He repeats this. And I thank God, verse 5, verse 6, verse 11, probably the fourth time. Yeah, the fourth time. He actually says this. He says, O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. When we identify with the dark monster of depression, the spiritual dryness, the prolonged sadness, amen, the absence of joy, the inner spiritual struggle of the soul, the feeling of being overwhelmed, amen, the feeling of being separated from God, we move from that dark monster of depression to the light, and from me to thee. Because what you saw was the psalmist, he preached to himself. He talked to himself. Not to somebody that's crazy, but he began to remind himself and he encouraged himself as he did this, amen. And so he remembered who the Lord was to him and he renewed that worship. You know what? That's all that this was doing. This was how he did it. When you look at this, you'll begin to realize what he said in verse 5 of Psalms 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And he says it again in verse 6. But he goes on to verse 11 again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope. It begins to change a little bit as he goes forward. There's a little bit of light coming into this. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And all the way down at verse 5, he continues. He's reminding himself. He's preaching to himself, amen. Not to somebody that's a fool, not somebody that's out of their mind, but somebody that's very much going to overcome the voices of feelings that have been talking to him of this old fleshly nature, and that spiritual man is speaking out to him now. And he's saying again in verse 5, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope," he says it again, as in verse 11, "hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Well, I thank God he describes the cure right here. How do we feel with those voices? Amen. I thank God we're afflicted by a condition that's determined by the causes that we're already now aware of. Amen. But here we describe the cure. And I thank God of that agonizing discouragement. I thank God. God has forgotten you? No. Now, you will only be fully applied on the day that Jesus returns on some things. Let me say that again. There's some discouragement and there is some depression that you're going through, that the only thing that will cure that is the day that Jesus has come on home, church. That's going to take care of everything right there. Okay, that's one thing. But I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us, what about life right now? Revelation 22 says that we'll see his face, and when we do, we're going to be with the Lord forever. That'll take care of everything then. But what about right now? Psalms 42, we see that there's hope, because you'll notice a progression in the psalm in which the psalmist gradually moves out of his despair. The first stanza, as we talked about, how was tears. And then he remembers God. And even though that he still feels like he's drowning, he grasps for God's love. And in verse 8, he begins to sing a little bit. He begins to praise a little bit. In verse 11, he says, there's some hope here. And then again, he says there's hope in verse 5. And so at the end of the psalm, he's still struggling with being cast down, but the affliction is being healed. He preached to himself. He talked to himself. We want to know, how do we apply this to ourselves? So what is this cure, amen? Preaching the gospel to yourself. I want to show you how he did this. You've noticed as we looked at the things that, as we read through in verse 5, and then verse 11, and then in verse 5 again. All of this, quite clearly, he's speaking to himself. He interrupts those other voices that are filling his head with lies that God is not near, that God doesn't love him, that God's not close by. And he preaches to them. He rebukes this old fleshly nature. He puts it under subjection. He crucifies it, praise God, like we've got to do every day, thank God, amen. And that voice, stop hoping. This is that voice now. Stop hoping in God, for he's left you. No, he hasn't. Fact that he was listening to himself instead of talking to himself. There's a big difference right there. And each and every day as we get up and get down on our knees, amen, you take those thoughts that come to you the moment that you wake up in the morning, and you have not originated them, but they start talking to you right off the bat. Hey, what you going to do today? You know how it is. What's your priority today? What you going to do today, amen? You start talking to you first, amen. Lord, I'm going to give you glory, first of all, this morning. Lord, my soul belongs to you. It's in your eternal keeping. I'm going to tell you, I thank God. And every one of us, you don't listen to him. You let him listen to you, amen, as the psalmist was talking about, amen. He said it was crazy. That's how he overcome depression, amen. And so I thank God, as we let those things drag us down and interrupt us, amen, you speak back to them about hoping in God. Verse 11 in Psalms 42. Verse 5, Psalms 43. That's what he was doing. As I read this and began to figure out, this is exactly what the psalmist is doing. He's preaching to himself. He's saying, there's hope in God. There's hope in God. There's hope in God. And those voices, they'll never stop talking to you every day. They'll try to talk to you. But I thank God it's clear that we preach to ourselves. But I thank God this is the big question. What do you say? What do you preach? Amen. I thank God you preach the gospel. Hallelujah. You preach the gospel. That's why midweek is important. That's why Sunday school is important. Amen. I thank God. I let it preach to me every time I come to God's house. Amen. There is hope in God. Amen. And why? Because God alone is our Savior. Amen. He's the one that helps us. He's the one that rescues us. His hope, amen, is that God has saved us from the past. Amen. He's going to save us now. Amen. Jesus was God forsaken that we might not be. Amen. And so I thank God is what Bob prayed about was so right on track. Amen. Every one of us, when he went to that cross, what he did for us, amen. I thank God. So we've got to tell that soul and interrupt it, amen. And you speak to it, amen. And you tell it what it needs to do today, amen. Because Jesus echoed from Psalms 42, amen. And I thank God it was the hour when God would put our sins upon Jesus. And having made him who knew no sin to be sin, God unleashed all of his wrath, every bit of his punishment upon Jesus. When Jesus was made to be sin, God did to him what he has never done to any human being ever before. He turned his back on him. And he experienced unbroken fellowship with his Father, which left him all alone. You see, the reason I say that, he had never known such darkness, not such depression. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when he cried out that question, everyone heard the silence, for he was truly God forsaken. Why did God forsake Jesus on the cross? God, because that all who believe in him might never know what it means to be God forsaken. We're never to that point that we can preach to ourselves and say, there's hope in you, Lord. There's hope in you. You have took it all upon us. You the one. You took every bit of everything upon us today. God hid his face from Jesus that we might never hide our face from him. And so I thank God today. The voices that say God has abandoned us are lies from the very pit of hell itself. Amen. No one has ever been more truthful to us than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. And so I thank God, every one of us, interrupt that voice, your soul that says God has left you. You preach right back to it and say, so you listen to me. You listen good. You can never be forsaken ever because of what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. I'll tell you something. If you ever remember this, it'll remind you to preach the message of gospel about this depraving, this discouraging monster that we have to face in our lives today. Sounds simple, but so many people deal with it day in and day out. Every one of us tonight, as we close out, I thank God as we have hope in God alone. C.S. Lewis is right. There's no happiness apart from God. It doesn't exist. And so I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us, the psalmist, he struggled with God and himself, but he has remembered to put his hope in God. He has moved from darkness to light, from me to thee. That's how he overcome depression. That's how he overcome the monster. And so I thank God he moved from me to thee. And I thank God tonight, every one of us. It may sound like, man, I never realized that, but that's exactly how this psalmist did.